Aside from data centers themselves, the biggest moneymaker in real estate today is in power plants built to service AI data centers. Hi, welcome to Bring Back the Bustle, a podcast about revitalizing rural America. I'm Siobhan Jones, your host. A bit of housekeeping before we delve into this episode. First, Happy New Year. We've been off since Thanksgiving, both for the holiday season and to prepare for our capital campaign, which is underway as I speak. Interested accredited investors can request a copy of our private placement memorandum using this link. Now, I know this is audio. That means that you have to go to our website, which is www.ruralqrof.com. That's RURALQROF.com. And click on the link that's here in the transcript of this podcast. Second bit of housekeeping. When we left off at the end of part one of season one, we were talking about energy. Specifically, we completed an episode about the power grid, how to share it, and who's paying for the excess demand caused by data centers. I promised at the end of that episode to do a second episode dedicated to making money from data center consumption, power consumption. And that's what today's episode is. But during our five-week hiatus, I noticed what may be the beginnings of a campaign to confuse the public about why poor people are being saddled with so much of the bill for data center energy consumption. The article that caught my attention was in the Wall Street Journal. I'm sure there are other articles out there, but I'm a subscriber to the Wall Street Journal and a regular reader, so I noticed that article. Now, I never touched the opinion page of the journal, but this article, while clearly propaganda, was in one of the fact-based sections of the paper, maybe the U.S. News section. So I read it, expecting to get information useful to the fund, but I ended up getting corporate spin, masquerading as journalism. Here's the gist of what the article claimed, that Americans are paying more for energy because of weather events and upgrades to the power grid. You and I addressed the weather events point in our last episode, Get Off My Grid, which is still available on the site and doing reasonably well. The cost of hurricanes, wildfires, and other natural disasters is spread across all ratepayers, as it should be, and as it always has been. In other words, the reason our energy bills have spiked of late is not because of weather events, since we've been paying for those all along. Higher energy prices also are not to improve the grid. If you'll recall, former President Biden signed a bipartisan infrastructure law with $62 billion set aside for energy, including expressly for modernizing the electrical grid. So, rather than double-digit increases to poor people's energy bills, we collectively were paying for grid maintenance and modernization through tax dollars provided in that bill, through that law. So what's being passed on to users is new power generation for data centers. And if someone is uncomfortable saying that, perhaps they should stop passing it along. Now, to today's episode. Data centers and also crypto companies and cloud storage purveyors, they have dramatically increased the demand for energy. With an increase in demand comes more money. This episode is about how to get some of that money. How is the demand for energy being met? It's being met in two broad ways, through fossil fuel energy and through renewable energy. So it's a mix of fossil fuel and renewable energies. You have gas, coal, water, wind, solar, and nuclear sources of energy that are being harnessed to meet the demand of corporate consumers like data centers, and also the rural communities that are nearby. They get additional residents and therefore have an increase in residential demand as well. That's the demand side. The supply side is a bit more complicated than the demand side. Here, the actual supplier of gas, coal, water, wind, solar, or nuclear energy isn't necessarily the party who owns or finances it. This means you don't have to understand how a gas plant operates or how a hydropower plant operates to make money from it. All you have to know is who the players are in the space and how you can do business with them. Now, this podcast is about private investing, right? We're a private fund. But I would be remiss if I didn't acknowledge that one way to make money in energy is to invest in publicly traded companies in the energy space. If you're investing publicly, don't limit yourself to just the utility company itself, but also look at companies that provide transmission cables, companies that provide the fuel itself, and companies that provide energy software and technology. Also look at utility bonds of stable municipalities. This public market is where you should play if you're not an accredited investor, but want to start making money in the energy sector. Naturally, the amount of money available in the private sector dwarfs what is available in the public sector. So if you have the ability and the free capital to get into a private energy deal, you can actually get rich. Power plants, whether renewable or fossil fuel, are billion-dollar investments financed by large private equity funds. So you generally need millions to get in, unless you are investing through a fund or a vehicle that aggregates the funds of accredited investors and reinvest that money in energy. So that's where this is going. Energy reinvestment is one of the plays that we make here at the Rural Fund. If you'll recall, we specialize in building small businesses such as entertainment venues, epicurean grocers, and hospitality offerings in data center anchored towns. Those are operating businesses. They generate lots of cash, and we have to do something with that cash to grow it. Our favorite play is to place our idle cash in private energy investments. Private energy investments often are backed by the government, which reduces the risk of loss from the investment. So you make a lot of money with low risk, but the barrier to entry is the huge upfront capital requirements. We make the upfront outlay affordable to accredited investors. An investment in the Rural Fund will be spread not just across our small consumer businesses, but also in our energy reinvestments. You'll be in energy deals with companies that construct energy plants and companies that supply parts to those plants, and with the institutional investors who finance construction and equipment. At this point, the best way to get more information is to schedule a consultation so that we can get you a copy of our private placement memo before this round of financing closes. You can schedule a consult on our website, ruralqrof.com. As for the podcast, what happens next? A number of experts have been listening to our show and have expressed an interest in sharing their topical knowledge with us. So I'm going to work them in for appropriate topics throughout the rest of the season and beyond. We envision about 15 episodes for this second half of season one of Bring Back the Bustle. Then there will be a second season where we'll transition from finance to real estate development. Again, looking at the topic from the vantage points of the property owner, the financier, and the user. After that, season three is expected to be about business operations when the cash starts flowing in from our real estate developments and investments. And then our investors, you know, make money. That's as far ahead as we've thought. Hopefully that's enough so that you'll mark this podcast as essential listening for investors, entrepreneurs, and business people. I'm Siobhan Jones. I'll be here next week, and I hope you will as well.